American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day to you. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, February 1, 2005. We've made it to the second month of 2005. Hooray for us. Sometimes I wonder if we're ever going to make it through this, like 01, 02. I mean, since we've started doing the show, this is my second month now doing the show 5 days a week. Can you believe that? 5 days a week, 3 hours a day to do the show, minimum. You know what I mean? Because I've got about an hour's worth of prep time, an hour of broadcasting, an hour of post-production, and then, of course, that's not counting, you know, email and all the rest of it. So it's kind of wild. You know, I've done it for a month now, and I seem to be able to keep it together. I seem to be able to keep trucking with this, and the feedback's been pretty good. So let's see how far we can go with this. I mean, I kind of take these things as one day at a time. You know, that's about the only way you can really do this sort of thing, especially when you're reviewing the news. I mean, let me tell you, it's depressing. It is depressing to view the news sometimes. I mean, I get all these links, and I try to get the cream of the crop, you know, and sometimes I get doubles of people, and then I miss, you know, saying certain people's names. If I do that, I'm sorry, you know, and I don't mean to, but sometimes that happens. So it's it can be depressing though when you're getting all those news reports and you see like the gradual, you know, degradation of our rights and everything. I mean, it kind of plays with your mind a little bit. So sometimes, you know, if I sound a little crazy, it's because quite probably, I mean, bear in mind, I'm running as like this huge buffer to get you guys the good stuff here. But we've got some other people helping me, some of which have given me feedback, which we'll get to right now. Dear Sean, I'm curious now that a portion of your income comes from your fans, how does this affect the way you spend money? You don't seem to be one to waste money, but you feel the need to cut back in gadgets and the like. This is from Kizzle. Well, Kizzle, that's an insanely personal question. I can't believe you'd really ask me that. But, you know, realistically speaking, I suppose, you know, you'd ask, the donations are going towards survival right now. What I want to do is I want to be able to quit my job. The day that my donations equal the monthly income of a minimum wage job, I will be quitting my job. As for purchase of gadgets and stuff like that, I don't see, this is kind of funny. This leads to another subject, but I married my wife, obviously, hence the term wife. And my wife handles all the finances in our relationship whatsoever. I'm one of those husbands that, you know, just turns the check over to his wife and goes from there. Because I'm well aware that I have a problem with gadgets and kit and gear. And, you know, I'll spend all the cash on this stuff. So rather than, you know, try to lock myself down, I've teamed up with a lifelong partnership with my wife. She's my partner. She's the one who's got all the control of the finances because she's good at it. You know, I wouldn't send her to go, you know, into a knife fighting contest because, you know, she's not, well, she's actually pretty good with a knife. But, you know, bad example. Like, let's say I wouldn't have her, I don't know, see who could carry more weight in a backpack because I'm a little bit better. You know, I have a little bit more talent for carrying weight in a backpack. My wife just happens to be better with money. So rather than let my ego get all in out of whack and you know, get all crazy, I let my wife handle all the finances. It's totally true. I don't even know how much money we're getting. Honest to God, I really don't. All the arrangements, everything, I go through Sumerian. Sumerian is my partner in Rant Radio. If something is a certain way, it's that way because Sim told me so. That's not meant as a slight. I'm always jacking on Sim. I'm always saying, you know, oh, you know, hey, Sumerian is, you know, he's the guy who told me this and told me that. No, this isn't like that. Like, Sumerian is my partner, and that's how we work, and that's how we've been able to produce Rant Radio and Rant Media and stuff like that. I myself am kind of a creation engine. I'm not really that much of a gadget fiend. I don't care about a gadget because it's a gadget. I care about, once again, because what does it do? How well does it do it? And I like things that enable me, like DataHands, for example, is a gizmo. It's like a $1,200 keyboard, but it enables you to like triple your typing time or something like that. Really sick. So I'm not really trying to, you know, if you think I'm rolling around out here with donation money in a Beamer or something like that, you can guess again. generally not. I'm just trying to survive like everyone else. So on a Morphe back here. Dear Sean, this was interesting. I'm sure Canada is right up there with the U.S. too. Oh, now this is interesting. I got this from Hammer. This is great. A quick look at how some countries advertise food to kids. In Ireland, for example, all television commercials for fast food or candy are banned. So there is no Irish fast food or candy commercials. In Sweden, Norway, Austria, and Luxembourg, all television advertising to children is banned. You cannot advertise to children because, well, they know that these are young developing minds and you're not allowed to use all the crazy advertising, you know, schemes in order to do that. In Belgium, France, Portugal, and Vietnam, all marketing is banned in schools altogether. And in the United States, they are spending more per child than any other nation in the world. The U.S. plugs $15 billion per year into marketing food to kids, which is more than what it would cost to provide health insurance for all the uninsured children. And that's from the New York Times. And Hammer sent me that, and I thought that was a really valid point. That's one of the reasons why, you know, I try to do independent media here. Now, I do the show format, and I put down some of the feedback, the ones that, like, strike me a certain way, and it seems like everybody's ripping on me. I'm getting a lot of negative feedback this show, but I'll read it out. It's feedback. What the hell? I had this sent to me where a guy on was replying. I think it was on my live journal. And he said something that some guy said that he really enjoyed the show and he caught it live and all the rest of it. And this guy came on and said, "Hey, guy, it's purely for DAC and amateur purposes, and I don't mean to slight you, but you do know the show is pre-recorded, right? And on a different note, SKTFM seems to have flipped an opinion again. The latest, People Are Shit, was People Are Generally Good. There was one other one in there, but I can't remember what it is. It's gone forever. And, you know, that was a comment that was made. Now, this is an interesting thing I found, is that people have this viewpoint. This is concerning to me. This is very concerning to me. That if you are in a position where you're talking or you're learning or maybe you know something that somebody else doesn't know, or you're a commentator such as myself, never, ever have I claimed to be an authority on anything. I don't have any answers because there are no answers. There are only questions. Okay? I am looking for answers. I am gradually, with each day as I get more data into my cranium, and I'm trying to, you know, assess this data, which is flowing to me faster now through the internet than it ever has in my life. My God, when I compare, like, how much I learn every day now versus what I'd learn in high school, and this is high school pre-computers, pre-any of that, when we were still all handwriting stuff, you know, it's staggering how much you view it. And you can't look at, like, the world's tragedies and look at, you know, some of the great things we've done and the tragic things we've done and try to figure out about the nature of man and stuff like that. These are huge, heady issues, okay? And I'm just trying to, you know, experience my life and put it on the air and read about it and talk about concerns that I have. I'm just a guy. Don't ever think that I'm some kind of authority, okay? I could be wrong. Quite probably am wrong. I would be wrong often. I have no wish to get into, you know, a verbal fencing match with Noam Chomsky. I'm just a guy talking over here. I try to be entertaining. I try to, you know, keep your interest up. But never think that I'm, you know, some, you know, not a religion, do not worship, okay? I'm just a guy like anybody else. That's why it's Sean Kennedy, the fucking man. And I'm just the fucking man because I said I was. I'm just some dude. And a lot of people get pissed with me when I say that. Sean, you can't just say you're some guy. No, that's just it. I am some guy. I'm just some guy. You know, and that's the beauty of the whole thing. We're all just trying to figure out what's going on. Everybody changes who they are from day to day. And if you don't believe that, I mean, think about who you were 2 years ago. You've changed a million times since then. You know, 2 years ago, I mean, especially if you're between the ages of, like, say, 14 and 25. My God. The transition, you're not even the same person on any level between the ages of 14 and 25. So what if you keep evolving like that? Or is there a point where you evolve to that point when, you know, and then you've got it all figured out? You know, you got all the answers now. I'm the one with all the answers. I'm 22. I've got all the answers in the world. I know what it's all about right here. Well, why don't you go on a trip through India? Poof. One trip through India later. I don't really know as much as I thought I did. Yeah, of course not. We never do. The world is a vast and expanding place. We need to stay flexible. We need to be able to make sure that we can, you know, evolve as more information comes in. If you decide to go all George Bush and, you know, just make a call and that's it, never mind new data or products brought to light, no, that's it, we're going to do this, okay, well, that's fine, but that's not really intelligent, you know? And I'm not even claiming to be all that hyper intelligent. I'd like to think I can process data pretty good, but never ever think that I'm some sort of a high and mighty dude speaking down to the masses and being all as Confucius say, because that's not the idea here. I quote like a lot of guys who are a lot smarter than I am, and I'm just trying to live my life and share the experience with all the listeners out there. So I just thought I'd clear that up. Now, let's go right into the sort yourself out. Dear Sean, I'm kind of at a loss on what to do right now. Oh, wow. I get these all the time. My mother, when I was younger, screwed me up emotionally. She kept me from growing, which has kept me for many years before high school to adjust to social situations. Now I'm older in legal standards, almost an adult. She's attempting all she can to prevent me from growing again, basically trying to control me. I don't want to stay at my house anymore. I would call it a home, but it's a state of being. It's just a place where my shit is. If I leave, I leave behind my dog, which she'll probably put down and get rid of. My cat, do the same. And my dad already manipulates, her old selfish ends. I'm the only one who makes this house doesn't fall to fucking ruin. I want to leave badly, but I ultimately have nowhere to go, no money to get there, lack of employment. Most likely, if I do leave, it will severely fuck up my future, a la school. I'm not quite sure what I should do. I feel if I stay here, I'm going to end up killing her because she pisses me off that much. If I leave, I might end losing a lot, my future, my pets, whom I love dearly, and my dad. Not to mention, I'm not exactly the most equipped to live on the streets, nor do I have much desire to. Anyways, any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, and I'm going to hold back the name on that one. Okay, now, when you have a situation like this, you gotta look at this and say, okay, what are my options here? Okay, I can either fuck off to the street because my home life is shit. If I fuck off to the street because my home life is shit, then what does that mean? That means that I'm not going to be able to finish my education. Any possible chance I have for a solid job is pretty much bitched right there, unless you, believe the lie of, start your own business and take the world. Well, that's few and far between, guys, so I just factor that one right out of the equation. Okay, now, and the fact that you're asking me for what you should do in this situation here, you have to go into survival mode in a big-time way. What I would do is, it sounds really hokey, but I'd probably focus on my studies. I would do all I could to isolate myself. If you have bad contact with your parents, just kind of draw a set boundary. Say, look, I'm going through some bad stuff right now. I love you guys, because they like to hear that. I love you guys, but I'm going through some stuff right now. Here's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be trying to focus on my studies. Now, they can't really bitch you out for focusing on your studies, because that's what good parents are supposed to do with their kids. They're supposed to encourage them to focus on their studies. And then, see what you can do with that. Maybe you can scholarship your ass out of there. There's a lot of, if you want to get out of there on the summers and stuff like that. Now, if you feel, of course, that if life is just hard at home, then I'm sorry, man. There's not much you can do. All right. You got three hots and a cot, and you got, a roof over your head, and you got access to schooling. So it sucks, and it's probably going to suck for another couple of years. But there's good news and bad news. The bad news is it's going to suck for a couple of years. The good news is it's only going to suck for a couple of years, okay? So it sucks. You learn a little bit. You learn how to cope with this kind of stress, and it develops you as a human being. It's a shitty thing for me to say, but, dude, stay at home, okay, and focus on your studies. Lose yourself in books. Lose yourself on the web, but, make sure that you have a plan. Formulate a plan of what to do when you are able to get a job so that when you are capable of leaving that environment, you can make sure that you leave once and for all. You're never coming back. And then from there, if you're still in a bad and shitty situation, hey, man, it's where the metal meets the meat. Sometimes dogs get put down. Sometimes cats get killed. That's what happens. That's fucking life. Sorry, man. Okay, don't go handing me shit because you're worried about your dog. I love my dog, too, but if I thought it was going to, interfere with my life on a deeply personal level, I'd shoot it myself. You gotta get tough with this, man. The world is a scary, nasty fucking place. And if you're going to allow yourself to be bogged down by, these emotional issues and shit like that, and I'm not trying to be heartless. I know how hard it is. Believe you me, I do. But if you allow yourself to give into that, it's okay to cry. It's okay to scream. It's okay to listen to your thrash music at night and smack your head into the pillow. That's okay. All right. But you got to keep going. All these are coping mechanisms. If you can't cope, okay, then you've got to find a way to cope. So that you can succeed in your life, so you can get the education that you need in order to get a job, so you can make a little bit of money, so you can live your life. Don't have to, try to be a doctor or nothing. Just plan yourself out like a pharmacist or something like that. It makes $50 an hour, and go that direction. And then that way, you know, once you're on your own terms, you can heal the damage from the age of like about 20 to 27 that, you know, your parents have done to you. You take 7 years, sort yourself out, read a bunch of books, you know, bibliotherapy or whatever they call it. You know, do a lot of deep interpersonal thinking, maybe learn how to meditate, and then from there, you know, you'll be able to heal yourself. But until you got to get yourself into a place where you're able to go. If you just bail right now and hook out on the street, you may as well just shoot yourself. All right, that's just the way that's the way I see it, you know, and I'm giving it to you straight, man. So, you know, you do what you got to do. Now, on to the news. Now, all these news links you're going to find on my LiveJournal. If you go to LiveJournal and do a search for Sean_Kennedy, you will find these news links, and you'll be able to read along with me on the page. And if you'll know it'll be time to change the story when I say something to the effect of sweet, merciful crap. Incidentally, does anybody get that you know it's time to turn the page when you hear the guy say ding or the, you know, that was one from those old books? I'm wondering if I'm like the only person who's getting that, because I think it's devilishly clever every time I say it, which of course it probably isn't, but, you know, boring the shit out of everyone. But never let the fact that you could be boring slow you down. Anyway, on to people fighting Walmart, which is a good idea. I'm really pleased that people are fighting Walmart because, well, somebody should. Mind you, you're outnumbered because they have more people in uniform than the U.S. Army. Emotions ran high Thursday night at a meeting to discuss the new store, which would be at West Powell Boulevard and 182nd Avenue, somewhere in the United States. Residents grew impatient and exchanges were heated at times as Walmart gathered neighborhood input for its proposed store. Yeah, the neighborhood input was something like this: fuck off! And Walmart was like, no, we're coming here. Away with you, serfdoms. We will enslave your old people and make them door greeters. Concerned include the increased traffic that the big stop box store would bring to the already busy area. Many were also worried about the loss of community and the impact on local businesses. Yes, the impact will be much akin to, say, a meteor strike or, you know, like an atomic level blast to local businesses. I don't think we could be here if Walmart was here. I don't think we could survive, said Lori Schwarzkopf of Baskets of Joy, which is soon going to be Baskets of No Joy, and More, which sits across the street from the proposed site. Well, obviously, she runs a, sounds like a craft store. Yeah, Walmart's going to kill her dead. But Walmart argues that the company brings jobs to the community and increases tax revenue. Officials also promise to be a good neighbor. What the hell does that mean? Does that mean I can come over and borrow a cup of sugar because I'm so starving to death because I can't make money? And furthermore, you know, we bring jobs to the community. Dude, there's already businesses that employ people. So what are you saying? That these people who you fire, you know, these people who are making maybe, you know, 10, 12 bucks an hour at their flower shop, you know, after you put them out of business, they can come work for you for minimum wage. Well, that's cool. Wait, no, it's not. No. We enslave people. It's cool. Our store brings over 400 jobs to the community. Okay, what is this? Numbers? How well paying are these jobs? Are these 400 doctors paying jobs? What's the lifestyle going to be? And how many jobs are going to be lost? And what are the wages of the jobs lost versus the jobs you're bringing to the community? You know, 400 people get enslaved in a blue uniform. Nice. As well, many charitable gifts to local charities. Yes, that's true. A little charity hides a multitude of sins. You wonder why they have to have this PR thing going on. And we are quite proud of that. No, you're not. Dude, you're giving money to charities to hide the fact that you're a masquerading big box store smashing communities. Okay, this is propaganda, dude. We're proposing a store that has good architectural design. A big box store with architectural design. And how will the architectural design at all affect the community and the job loss? The company's spokesman, Eric Berger, told the crowd, "Don't worry, the building's gonna look pretty." Yeah, lynch mob. Walmart plans to present information on from Thursday's meetings to Gresham city leaders at a future time, which is yet to be released and probably won't be getting anything to them because, you know, it's Walmart. Really, does the city's not going to stop them because they'll pay off all the officials. This is how it works. And, you know, news media makes a little blurb. I freak out about it, but nobody really cares. You know, it's not going to stop it because nobody has the might. There is no financial backing. There's no leverage. It's all about leverage. You know, people generally, now, I should state that I believe people are, if they're well-fed and they have everything they need, much like lions, if they're well-fed, they generally might just leave you alone. You know, they're like, oh, look at the lion. However, if people are hungry or miserable and they start getting desperate, people turn to shit. People's moral and ethical standings are directly related to their economic position. Don't ever kid yourself. Society is three meals away from, you know, shooting each other for clothing. You don't think it's right? Imagine a city without power and water, okay, for say a week. How wacko do you think it would get, huh? How fast do you think you'd need to have the National Guard in there? And the reason why that is because on base level, people are animals. They will do what it takes to survive. Nothing is more important than necessity, and each of us defines necessity, and because we put ourselves ahead of everyone else, which we all do, we all think that, yeah, I'm better than you, and I'll look out for number one. That combination, that particular combination, is dynamite, man. That's what you're going to wind up with. And you wind up getting people, you know, who have a little bit of training in there, and you've got a survival situation. That's why when I talk about WOGs and patrolling and stuff like that, you'll notice I'm not talking about attacking. I'm not talking about, you know, taking things over. It's not any kind of a training manual. I'm just talking about survival, okay? Like, you know, living to fight another day, making it to month two, that kind of thing. And, of course, they're going to try to tax the internet. This is, you know, I love this. You know, let's take something, anything even remotely beautiful, and we'll meter that so we can choke it out so those who can't afford it won't be able to have it. An influential Congress committee has dropped a political bombshell by suggesting a tax originally created to pay for the Spanish-American War, which was another invented war, could be extended to all internet and data connections this year. The committee, deeply involved in writing U.S. tax laws, unexpectedly states in a report Thursday that 3% telecommunications tax could be revised to cover all data communication services to end users. What the hell does that mean? Including broadband, dial-up, fiber, cable modems, cellular and DSL, or digital subscriber line links. I mean, this is crazy. Currently, 3% excise tax applies only to traditional telephone service. But because of technological convergence, there's that word again, convergence, and the dropping popularity of landlines, the Joint Committee on Taxation concluded in its review of tax reforms that it might make sense to extend the 100-year-old levy to new technologies. Okay, so people are finding a way around the taxes, so you're going to find a way to tax them. That's great. The committee did not take a position on whether Congress should approve such an extension or simply list it as an option. Now, I guarantee that's not on CNN. You know, you're never going to find that featured on the nightly news. New tax on the internet. You know, could you be paying an extra 3%? Stand by after we feed you some Pfizer drug commercials right after this. I mean, you're never going to see that, but we need to know about this. This is stuff that affects you, the end user. You know, you're the guy who takes the labels off, and you're the one who's going to wind up paying for this. Now, there is an opportunity you have here to fight factory farms. Now, whether or not you believe in eating meat, okay, because God knows I like my dead animals, all right? But I'm really kind of scared of the factory farming thing because just because I like guns doesn't mean I'm into war, okay? I don't think that factory farming is in any way good. It's a terrible way to raise animals. It's full of suffering. It's dangerous. The hormone levels are dangerous. The mad cow disease comes from factory farms. The waste is colossal. I like, you know, the kind of the cows on the range kind of cows, you know, have a good galloping free life, so to speak, and then, you know, get shot and horribly mutilated and cut up, and then I eat them. I'm more into that kind of a thing than a cow who's trapped in a pen and chews off its own ass and shit like that. I think nobody can really say, even meat eaters don't like factory farms. Okay, but there are options, there are other ways to do this, and we have a chance now to fight some factory farming because some heavy shit's coming down the pipe. A day after the inauguration, January 21, the Bush administration signed an agreement that allows factory farms to freely violate any and all clean air standards for the next 2 years and forgives these same companies from paying fines for past air pollution violations in exchange for the freedom to pollute without any restriction to deal requests that factory farms agree to monitor their air pollution and provide that data to the government. Yeah, we pumped 10 billion particles of toxic shit into the air. Here you go. It's on this piece of paper here. You can just file that in the round bin. Bush's dirty air agreement is outrageous, given that the Clean Air Act already requires factory farms to provide air pollution data, which is also requiring facilities to adhere to clean air standards. One of the companies that will benefit most from the agreement with the Bush administration is Tyson Foods, who happens to be one of the largest donors to the Bush inaugural festivities. Fortunately, there is a 30-day public comment period, and the OCA is collecting petition signatures for the submission to the EPA. Please sign the petition and make comments directly to the EPA. You can get to that link off of my live journal. Go there now, click on that, and fight against this hideous piece of legislation that Georgie Porgy Boy has put into effect. Like, dude, what are you doing? You know, okay, you pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. You got your cousin to run against you. You're all setting up for your brother there, who's what, the dweeb in Florida. And he's going to take over after you leave because, you know, you can keep the Bush kingdom going here. All right. George, man, you know, I actually believe, George, that you're a good guy. I do. I honestly do. You know, I think you're a good shit. Everybody's talking shit about you and stuff. You're a businessman, you know? You're a businessman, and you're trying to make good calls. You're surrounded by influences of people who are telling you that this is the way things have to be done. I sometimes wonder how much power George Bush really does have. You know, who's in the background pulling his strings, you know? We all like to target Georgie boy there, but I mean, really, let's suppose George Bush goes to bed tonight, okay, and has an epiphany. You know, the angel of the Lord comes unto George and says, George, you need to smarten the fuck up, okay? You're killing kids in Iraq in a war. There's companies making big money. You're not helping the... You're fucking up, man. You're fucking up huge. You need to phone Noam Chomsky as soon as you wake up, talk to him, and we'll set some policies to set the world straight, okay? That's what's going to happen. God out. All right, now, if that happened, what do you suppose the chances are that George could actually do something about that? What do you suppose the chances are he could really, you know, make a difference? Could he? Is it possible, or would he just get taken out by one of his advisors? You know, who's really running the show? I wonder sometimes. George seems actually like, I don't hate the man. I think he's making some bad calls, or people are forcing him to make bad calls. He's not stupid. I mean, he's the president of the United States. He can't be stupid. You know, I mean, by default, if you're the president of the United States, you really can't be dumb, can you? You know, so I respect the man because he is the president of the United States. He is the leader of the free world, quote unquote. So why is he doing this? You know, why are you doing it? Don't you see what you're doing? You're destroying the blue ball, dude. We got one blue ball. Unless there's some shit going on that you need to tell us about, like, is the economy that fucked that we need to do this? You know, is there some alien thing happening? Is there a reason why you're not talking about the global warming crisis and instead of, you know, trying to decrease methane output that is causing global warming, you've given a 2-year reprieve to just ramp that shit right through the roof? I mean, check how much, you know, they're trying to blame automobiles for the global warming problem. But if you look at the industry cranks out way more toxins than the automobiles do. Maybe it's just all going snow crash and I'm just the last of the hopeful idealists. Because although people are shit, I do believe that when push comes to shove, and, you know, way deep down, there is some kind of force of good inside of people. I do believe that, but generally, people don't listen to it because people are shit. Now, into the snow crash universe. Every now and again, things show up which you're like, oh, wow, that was like from Tales from the Afternow, or that was from, you know, this cyberpunk novel or whatever. Well, there's a new thing out called a tweel. Okay, which, if you've read Snow Crash, the girl in Snow Crash, who was the skate chick, she had these really crazy wheels that were made out of spokes. There was no actual rubber or surface. It was just spokes that adjusted as you rolled so that there'd be like a sensor and it would roll over curbs and stuff, and each of the spokes would extend and provide constant traction. Well, essentially, that's what this new invention is, this thing called the tweel. The heart of tweel invention is this deceptively simple-looking hub and spoke design. There replaces the need for air pressure while delivering performance previously only available from pneumatic tires. These flexible spokes are fused with flexible wheel that deforms to absorb shock and rebound with unimaginable ease. Without the air needed by conventional tires, tweel still delivers pneumatic-like performance in weight-carrying capacity, ride comfort, and the ability to envelop road hazards. Now, that's pretty cool. Now, I'm a little concerned because when I look at it, it doesn't look like you could hit it with anything. If you ran over something with a tweel, it looks like the tweel could be pretty easily damaged. I've noticed that too with cars. Have you seen that? They got all these domes and shapes on them, everything's all curved and curved windshields and everything. The reason why that is because naturally those shapes allow you to use thinner metal because the shape of the metal itself is what gives it, you know, its structural capacity. That's what it does. Structural integrity, not structural capacity, but it's the actual way that particular flimsy piece of aluminum is shaped that, you know, helps it be sturdy, as opposed to, say, like a 1976 Cadillac Eldorado, which you could drive through a fleet of Saturns and probably, you know, only screw up the paint. This is why I like used cars. Now, I got two links here about RFID. As we all know, for those of you who have just tuned in because you're on another planet, RFID are the little transmitters the core politicals are going to start bugging our clothing and everything else with so that they can track us. And that's not an exaggeration. You know, do some research and you'll find out what it is. So it seems that we got some information here about hacking RFID. You want to use the technology? We told you not to use this technology, didn't we? Didn't we tell you that? We had protests. We've told you not to try to label us with RFID. We told you that. You're not listening. So we're going to hack it, and we're going to spread it, and we're going to make that technology useless to you because we don't want that technology to be used against us. Thanks for coming out. The tiny radio transmitter chips that make it possible, that make possible high-security car keys and swipe-by gasoline passes can be cracked using cheap technology, U.S. computer experts said on Saturday. The radio frequency identification RFID system uses a relatively simple code that criminals can easily decipher, making it easier to steal a car or get a free tank full of gas. Hey, said experts at Johns Hopkins University and RSA Laboratories. We found that security measures built into these devices are inadequate. Okay, that's like, wow, there's a shot across the bow. Hey, this thing that gives you free gas is insecure, said Avi Rubin, technical director of Johns Hopkins Information Security Institute in Baltimore. Quote, millions of tags are currently in use by consumers who have an encryption function that can be cracked without requiring direct contact. An attacker who cracks a secret key in an RFID tag can bypass security measures and fool tag readers in cars or at gas stations, Rubin said in a statement. Made by Texas Instruments Incorporated, the RFID system studied for the report uses a device that prevents cars from starting unless both the right key and the correctly coded RFID chip are used. The device has been credited with significant reductions in auto theft rates as much as 90%, the researchers wrote. They cited TI, which has been told about the problem, as saying it has received no reports of thefts due to the vulnerability. Well, you know, that's one thing. But I've got some feedback to tie on to this story. You know, we know that they can be cracked. We know it's easy to be cracked. So how do we do that? In addition, here's some feedback. Hey there, Sean. I took a break from Newsreel archives long enough to do some interesting net running. I wonder how many of you out there actually, do you guys all like download these and listen to them back to back? I mean, because I had no idea these were going to be archived. I thought, you know, I'd say them and they'd be gone. It's like listening to past, like rewinding news, you know, like listening to last week's news. I'd wonder why you'd do that. Very odd, very odd. You people are very weird. Hey there, Sean. I took a break from the Newsreel archive long enough to do some interesting net running. During this, I love you though, even though you're weird, I found a link in regards to some crypto RFID products, particularly in the Texas Instruments stuff. Ooh. On top of cracking the 40-bit proprietary crypto on the RFID chips, which are used in products like the Mobile Speed Pass, the Mobilizer car security systems and whatnot, they used what closely resembled crack sticks from the Afternow. Ooh, it's creepy when I do that. They are using small embedded computers, which are called FPGA chips. You can obtain one of these crack sticks from a link on my live journal where it says get crack sticks. They're about $99 and come with a complete starter kit, including software, cabling, and everything you need to program them. Get your crack kick now in order to start locking in on the RFID cracking. Beyond RFID cracking, there are about a million other uses for these sticks, some of which are legal, since you can program them to do whatever you like. In addition to this, they can be linked together in parallel for distributed computing applications. Nice, they are crack sticks. I'm an embedded systems developer by trade, and if you'd like to have any questions about these or any other neat projects you'd like to say, please let me know, and I can give you a hand. Regards, name withheld to protect the guilty. I think that is incredibly hot that we have that available, and I think everyone who's at all interested in fighting the system wants to learn a little bit about this RFID. Yeah, we don't want it. We know we don't want it, and let's say you want to program your own RFID, because once you buy it, it's your RFID tag, right? If they put it in your clothing, it's your RFID tag. So rather than destroying them and nuking them, why don't we crack our RFID tags to feed back bad data, therefore jamming the entire system? Don't fight the system, evade the system, and jam it. I think that's a great idea. Now, here's a link that is just frightening to me. This was sent to me, and I've got this particular story like 7,000 or 8,000 times. I wonder if this is actually true, or if this is just some news bullshit that's being fed to the world. We need, and as WOGs, as operatives, as cyberpunks, as, you know, whatever we are, we need to talk to the normals, okay? We got to talk to the sheeple and get this across to them. Many high school students see it, government censorship of newspapers may not be a bad thing. And flag burning is hardly protected free speech. It turns out the First Amendment is a second-rate issue to many of those nearing their own adult independence, according to a high school attitudes released Monday. That's because these kids have been programmed for what? Sex and money. if you got, you know, life ain't nothing but bitches and money. That's what everybody is being taught, okay? It's about getting the good spouse, getting the good job, and then you can lock, get your SUV and combat everyone else. You'll get to the top. You'll knife your way there. Ends justifies the means. And it's unfortunate, but that's what we're being taught. And that tends to work because, you know, if you're willing to do what other people are unwilling to do, you will be successful. So if you're willing to be a bloodthirsty, savage son of a bitch who doesn't care about anyone and will kill and screw over, you know, your partners, your friends or whatever just to get ahead, yeah, you'll get ahead. You'll get what you paid for. You'll get other things, too, but you'll get what you paid for. The original amendment to the Constitution is the cornerstone of the way of life of the United States, promising citizens the freedoms of religion, speech, press, and assembly. Yet when told of the exact text of the First Amendment, more than one in three high school students said it goes too far in the rights it guarantees. It goes too far. You got too many rights? Only half of the students said newspapers should be allowed to publish freely without governmental approval of stories. Holy shit. Do you honestly think that? Because if that's the case, I may as well just turn off the mic right now. You know, I may as well just turn it off and head home. Maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe when they come for me, when they kick in my door, you know, for doing these news shows and talking about, you know, my thoughts and ideas and sharing my life experience with the world here, when they kick in the door, no one will care. Maybe, what a nightmare. What a terrifying thought that would be. That, you know, you wind up getting dragged away and everyone in your community is like, good riddance. What a loser. Good God, what if it's true? You know, I can't believe that. I can't believe that because you can see it. You can see that they just don't know. They don't know that they're losing. It's, you know, what about the art? What about, my God, how do you address this to these people? How do you even approach them on it? I mean, I'm with this guy here. He said, the results are not only disturbing, they are dangerous, said Harding Carter III, president of the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, who sponsored the $1 million study. Quote, ignorance about the basics of this free society is our danger to our nation's future, end quote. Ignorance about the basics of this free society is a danger to our nation's future. Well stated. I guess that's why, you know, he's the president of that particular foundation. It's terrifying to me that nobody seems to care about, you know, the purpose of freedom, like what freedom is. Maybe I'll be the last one. Maybe, you know, if they come for me, I should run. You know, I should maybe put a poll out on that. I'll see, you know, if they come to arrest you, Sean, should you run? Here's the pros and cons of running. You know, I wouldn't be able to run forever. I mean, I'd be able to broadcast here and there and feed it up online. I bet you they'd be downloaded. Holy cow. Could you imagine? But seriously, please. You know, if you're in high school right now, you know, and if you're listening to me, maybe you're a geek, maybe you're not. Maybe you've got a pretty good friend base, but you need to start addressing, you know, the brilliance that the U.S. Constitution is. I mean, this is a nation founded on ideals. This has never been done before. You need to understand, like, what are they teaching you people? You know, what the hell is going on in high schools? I don't blame these kids. They just, they haven't been shown the alternative. Maybe if they show these kids more about World War II, maybe if they teach people about, you know, Nazi Germany. The guy who sent this to me, Praetor, he said it best here, I think. He said, Sean, I read this story and thought, how can this be true? If this isn't a fabricated news article, then it's just all the more reason to people get the word of Rant Radio and what you do out there to all these students. Maybe that's one thing we can do. I mean, if I'm the only weapon you got to use against these kids, yeah, burn me to disc and throw me at them. You're free to distribute these news programs. Maybe that's why everyone listens to the archive. It's because they're so starved for honesty. Maybe I'm wrong, but Jesus, I'm honest. You know, I'm giving it to you straight. Okay, you can't tell me I'm not. And finally, the core politicals, the same people who are assisting the government to, you know, destroy our freedoms of speech, are now finally attacking the academics. That's right, the universities are starting to be censored. Now, I don't know about you, but the concept of religion and religious-motivated government starting to censor universities and research on any level, okay, is grounds for complete and total freakout. The University of California's credo, Fiat Lux, which means let there be light, celebrates the power of knowledge. Federal officials, however, mindful that power is a double-edged sword, seem intent on imposing an alternate post-9/11 credo on those who conduct university research, which is, let there be licenses. What's the Latin for that? In an age when data can be dangerous, the Bush administration is clearly concerned with keeping classified information out of the hands of America's enemies. Well, why don't you stop making enemies? From terrorist networks to hostile regimes. What the fuck does that mean? A hostile regime? Am I a hostile regime? But the university officials warn of a dimly grasped threat from the U.S. government itself, having less to do with legitimate security worries than the needless clampdown on academic freedom, including moves to bar non-citizens and even foreign-born U.S. citizens for participating in an ever-expanding list of science and engineering research projects. Now, if you add to this all the microbiologists who've been dying the last little while, that's, now we don't want to have a whole bunch of educated people, only, nice, good American white educated people. We frontline contract negotiators are the beginning to see more and more clauses in our agreements that say, you've got to give us the names and address and birthplaces of all foreign nationals, says Joyce Fredman, Assistant Vice Chancellor of Research, Administration, and Compliance, of funding deals tendered by federal agencies. And we fight those very hard, but we're seeing them more and more. And they'll continue to see them more. They'll continue to see them more. And why is that? Why will they continue to see them? Because if you control the education and you control the educated, you control the people. You control them through the media. Once you become, you got to ask yourself, how many Nobel Prize people out there watch television? Say Nobel Prize winners watch television. How much television do you think Stephen Hawking watches? I mean, the guy's crippled. He's all gibbled up in that wheelchair there. Talks like Robot Man. Okay? So you'd think that he'd probably watch a lot of TV because he's not out playing soccer, right? You'd think, logically, he's probably catching up on the Babylon 5. But realistically, the guy probably doesn't spend any time watching TV, even though he probably could. He's got every excuse in the world. Why doesn't he do that? Because he's got his brain working, man. He's working on dark matter and theories that I can't even grasp because the dude's a genius. That's what he does. He's got his brain worked up. He's got himself to a point where he doesn't need the television anymore because what's going on inside of his head is more entertaining than what's going on in the outside world. It's kind of like when you're online, You know those times when you just zone out, you're there, you're cruising, you're surfing information? Imagine being able to do that without the internet. Just to cruise through your own brain looking at data. And that's what, the formation of like memory and reading and all this kind of stuff, the intellect, the logos of the personality and the mind. This is, the whole goal of intellect here. We need to, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. I don't know what to say to make people try to grasp the importance of what it is we're even losing. It's freaking me out. Kill your TV, man. That's all I can say. I've gave up on mine. I can barely watch it now. I come along and I watch occasionally chunks of news. The dark one, my wife, she's heavy into CSI. She's got a CSI problem. Okay, everyone's got those problems. I had a Babylon 5 problem. Luckily, the season, the series ended. The fifth season sucked such hard ass that I'm still pissed off Garibaldi did not get vengeance on Bester. Sulu or Mr. Chekhov, you suck. But, realistically speaking, I guess there is use for art. I mean, television is bad because of the commercials, but there is some silver lining in television. There's a lot of good things that could be done with television. I think that we have enough advertising in society. It'd be great to see television commercials made illegal. I'd love to see that. It'll never happen. If they made me king for a day, yeah, that'd be the one thing I'd do is I'd make advertising illegal on television. And I would have like some crazy sweaty tooth madmen chasing after people who try to advertise and be looking at stuff to make sure there's no clever product placement like iRobot and the shoes and all that. Yeah, that's what I'd like to see happen. But until we can get that, man, I don't know. So today's Daily Hack will help you be able to filter your television. A lot of you can't give it up, so you can build your own PVR, personal video recorder. Now, this is from the EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, guide, and I'll just read you what they got here. Welcome to the EFF Guide to Assembling Your Own Personal Video Recorder, PVR, with a NotMyth R5A5 and PC HDTV. In our experience, creating your own HDTV PVR with some free open-source software is a fun and rewarding experience. In the United States, some of the hardware required may be only lawfully available until July 1, 2005, so there's a substantial incentive to those who are interested to start promptly. As the EFF describes our digital television liberation page, recent regulations in the United States will ban the manufacture of DTV receiving hardware as described after July 1, 2005. While we challenge these regulations in court, the clock is ticking, and it's safest to assume that it will be difficult to get unrestricted DTV receiving equipment in the future by the way you can today. However, despite the manufacturing ban, existing on equipment will continue to work and be lawful to possess and operate. It will be immune from restrictions imposed on future equipment. That means that the equipment you can buy today is more functional and more useful than what you'll be able to buy after July 1, 2005. That is some scary, scary stuff. When you start looking for, you know, the good equipment that was made back when there was freedoms, before they started putting in what? The limiting chips? The listener's license gear? You know, all the registration of microphones? We'll just kind of bring that down. You think that's crazy? Do you think I'm going too far there? Do you think the whole thing is just, you know, oh, you're being paranoid, John. You're being paranoid. They're never going to, yeah, they're already restricting media. You know, I don't know how many, maybe these archives are a good thing to keep so that everyone's got them. So that, you know who the last broadcaster was. If I'm not going to be the last one, you know, I'll broadcast for as long as I can. Maybe I'm being negative. Maybe, you know, we'll pull out of this. Maybe enough people will begin talking. They'll realize the importance of free speech and there'll be kind of a revolution and I'll be able to keep on the air. But as it sits, I don't think so. I think personally it's a matter of time before somebody knocks on the door. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not spreading hate or lies. I'm definitely not claiming to be some authority. I'm just trying to share the experience of this particular news day with the rest of my reality. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry. I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. This is a free and independent broadcast. This broadcast is brought to you by the generous donations of people who, when the great score comes to write against these names in the future, these people's names will be remembered as those who helped me in for the month of December, which were Jesse, Lars, Michael, Matt, Andrew, Kevin, Derek, Eric, Jason, Peter, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Timor, Greg, Richard, Weblife, Drake, Matt, Evan, Brian, Ashton, David, Austin, Jonathan, Adam, William, Trevor. Incidentally, I had a car named Trevor, which I really loved. Jonathan, Mark, Kitsune, Art, Matthew, Christopher, Kyle, Justin, and Matthew. Thank you so much. And I really mean that. And I wish, you know, there's more I could say. I should be getting, even though I know this is February 1's show, and I should have the January list, but I haven't had it sent to me yet. You know, again, you know, I'm only a puppet on strings here. It's all Sim and everybody else. I'm not going to jail. No, I'm just kidding. So that's my story. Yeah. It's all Sim. Sim's the one. But if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, go visit Sim. Go talk to him. Go to rantmedia.ca and click on donate, and he will take your money. And I'd like to also give some very special thanks to those people who are some hard net runners who helped me find today's stories. Transix, Sylvanus, Gijin Machina, Ricky Rocket, Walga War, Stone Rhino, Iridian, Fucking Man to Be, Astrofix, Tao De Cheese, whose name I still love, El Choro, and Pig Monkey. As well, we got a digital baptism, which is Skylar Walker? Whoever Mr. Walker is now known as Chromefire. And for all of you out there who sent me other information, which I've forgotten to, you know, mention on the air, very sorry, but thank you so much for sending that. If you have info, please email it to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you pick up the album by Hallucinogen, Twisted, or any Hallucinogen album, because, again, as a Go Aside transcript, they're just, you know, amazing. All their stuff is amazing. And so until tomorrow, everyone, that's what Server said. End of line.
Good morning, Worm, Your Honor. The crown will plainly show the prisoner who now stands before you was caught red-handed showing feelings. Showing feelings of an almost human nature. This will not do. Call the schoolmaster! I always said it come to no good death. Bleeding hearts and artists, I am going. You should have talked to me more often than you did, but no! You had to go your own way. Have you broken any homes up lately? Just 5 minutes worm, Your Honor. Help me alone. Over the rainbow, I'm crazy. Bars in the wind,